Penguin Random House Audio presents Isaac Asimov's Guide to Earth and Space by Isaac Asimov. Read for you by John Lindstrom. To Kate Medina, Together Again. Introduction. The physical world is a large and wonderful place. But it is also confusing, and there is much about it that no one quite understands. There are also many phenomena that some of us understand pretty well, but others do not. One of the reasons that most of us don't know as much about the world as we might is simply that we don't bother to think about it. Which is not to say that we don't think at all. Everyone thinks. But each person tends to concentrate mostly on matters that seem to be of immediate importance. What shall we have for dinner? How do I pay my bills? Where shall I go for a vacation? How can I go about getting a promotion and a raise in pay? Shall I try to arrange a date with so-and-so? What's this funny pain I have in my side? These are such important questions to each of us, and our need to answer them is often so strong that there is simply no time to wonder about more general issues such as, what is the shape of the earth? A natural response to a question like this might be, who cares? Why do you bother me with such silly things? What difference does it make? But it does make a difference. For example, you can't sail a ship across the ocean and reach your destination by the shortest possible route, or fire a missile and expect it to land on its target without knowing the shape of the Earth. But aside from that, and far more important, is that wondering about such questions is fascinating, and finding the answers is fairly easy if you're systematic about it. The aim of this book is to bring these general questions closer to home by exploring their answers in terms that anyone can follow, making the complexities of the universe absolutely clear. Of course, one question usually leads to another. Knowledge about the world is not a straight line, but an intricately connected three-dimensional lacework. So that answering a particular question sometimes requires an explanation of something else, which in turn demands the explanation of still another thing, and so on. I will, however, attempt to unravel the threads with as much care as possible so that not too much has to be explained at any one time. Nevertheless, it might still be necessary for me to jump about a bit now and then, and I ask forgiveness for that. Then, too, as we advance from question to question, simple reasoning in some cases will not be enough. We will have to know a little about what scientists have observed and deduced. But I will try to describe that work with particular care and, wherever possible, without complex mathematics or diagrams. Thinking always leads to more thinking, and there's no end to it. To people who enjoy thinking, that is the glory of science. People who don't enjoy thinking about things that don't concern them immediately find the necessity of continuing to do so indefinitely frightening, and they turn away from science. I hope you are in the first group. So, let us get started with the question I have already asked and see where that will take us. 1. What is the shape of the Earth? To begin with, we must look around us and see that the Earth is uneven and has no easily described shape. Even if we ignore houses and other man-made objects and all living things as well, we are still left with an uneven surface of bare rock and soil. The first conclusion we would come to then would be that the Earth is a lumpy object with hills and valleys, cliffs and ravines. In places like Colorado, Peru, or Nepal, where there are towering mountains that reach miles into the air, the Earth's irregularity is very clear. But if you live in some parts of Kansas or Uruguay or the Ukraine, you don't see much in the way of hills or valleys. you see planes, which look pretty flat. Then, too, even if you do encounter hills and mountains, the earth may rise on one side, but then fall again on the other side. Valleys and ravines may slant down on one side, but slope up on the other. No part of the earth's land surface goes up without ever coming down again as you move across it. No part goes down without ever going back up. It seems reasonable, then, to conclude that the earth is, on the average, flat. Again, if you were to paddle a boat out onto a body of water so large that you couldn't see land in any direction, you would have only the surface of the water to consider. This surface is uneven because it is full of waves. Yet, if there is no wind, the waves are not large, and it is easy to see that, on the average, the water surface is flat. In fact, water is much more nearly flat at all times than land. So it makes sense to suppose that the earth is flat, and for thousands of years, that is exactly what human beings believed. Since a flat earth made sense, and since it didn't take much thinking to see that it made sense, why would anyone waste any further time thinking about it? Have you ever stood on a hilltop and looked out on the valley below? The valley looks pretty flat, and you can look farther and farther outward, past houses, trees, rivers, and other faraway objects, though the more distant they appear to be, the less detail you can make out. What's more, the air isn't usually absolutely clear. Bits of fog and smoke obscure the very distant portion, which becomes a kind of bluish haze where the earth and sky seem to meet. The meeting place of earth and sky is called the horizon, from a Greek word for boundary. If you're looking at a flat section of the earth, the horizon runs evenly from right to left, and such a line is therefore called horizontal. Suppose, however, that you look in another direction at another hill close by. You can't see past the top of the hill to the other side because you can't see around curves. Therefore, as you look at the top of the hill, you see only the sky above it and not the earth sloping downward beyond it. There is a sharp line that seems quite close to you that marks off the hill against the sky. Thus, if you are looking out over a stretch of land and see a distant, misty horizon, you know you are looking over some pretty flat territory. But if you see a sharp, nearby horizon, you are looking at a hilltop. Imagine that you are out on the ocean on the deck of a ship. It is a clear, bright, sunny day, and the sea is calm. The sea air is usually less dusty and misty than land air, so you look off into the distance, and there is the horizon, sharp. The sea meets the sky in a clear horizontal line. You are clearly looking at a hilltop. How can that be? There are no hills in the ocean, just flat water. The only answer is that the ocean is not flat, but curved, and from your height on the ship deck, you can see out only so far till your eyesight meets the top of the curve, and you can't see beyond it. If you go up to a higher deck, you can see farther out before the curve cuts off your view, and if you go to a lower deck, you can see less far out. What's more, if you stand in one place and look all around you, you will see that same sharp horizon at the same distance in every direction. Not only does the ocean surface curve, but it curves in the same way and to the same extent in every direction, at least as nearly as one can make out with the eyes. But why should the ocean curve? It must be following the surface of the earth, and the earth itself must be curving in all directions too. The curving is more obscure on the land because the land is more uneven than the sea, and the air over the land is usually mistier. Given that the earth does curve, what kind of curve is it? If the earth curves in the same way in all directions, it must be a sphere.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?